Revelation chapter 14. By the way, Pastor Dave will be preaching tonight in the 6 p.m. service. He'll be preaching tonight. Revelation chapter 14. I might want to say we had a tremendous time Thursday with the seniors, the ABL club. I want to thank Brother Freddie Belcher for driving the bus. We had 26 of us went up to that Alliance, Ohio, on Ponderosa. And we ate for $5.95, full court, the buffet, plus they included the beverage for the seniors. Now, if you weren't a senior, you didn't get that price, but $5.95, and it was good, man. We had a tremendous, and then there was a mall right behind the Ponderosa, and across the street was a Goodwill, and I said, all right, you can either go to the new mall, the mall there, or the Goodwill. We'll drive around to the mall, drop you off, and if you want to go with me, go to Goodwill. So we drove up to the mall. I said, okay, all you folks wanting to get to the mall, I'll be back at 1:45. And not one person got off the bus. They said, we're going to Goodwill, preacher. And I said, all right, that's where it's at. I even bought me a song that said, bought me a sign that said Goodwill towards men, you know. And I really did buy it. I'm not kidding you. I'll bring her show to you someday. We had more fun. That had to be one of the most fun trips we've had. The people just, we had a great luncheon, and people giggled and carried on. And we had then we went to Goodwill. We found all kinds of good stuff. Remember, one person's junk is another man's treasure. And we love Goodwill. I won't make no bones about it. And I love Goodwill. And you'd be amazed what you use to, what you can find in them stores if you just look. A lot of times, many times, they're brand new garments with tags still on them. And so, but anyways, ABL, thank you for coming last Thursday. We had a good time. Now this coming month, we'll be meeting in the Becca building. That's it for the trip for this year. All you gadabouts, we're gonna stay in the building from now on, and we'll have a big turkey dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, November 21st for the ABL. November 21 would be, I believe it's a Thursday, and that'll be when we meet with the ABL club again, full course Thanksgiving dinner. All right, Revelation chapter 14, glad you're here today. We had some folks, there was a death in their family, Brother Coolidge and Greer and Brother Tim and his family. They're at a funeral today. They one of their family members died and from the pastor, and so they are away at that funeral home, a couple of our families today. Well, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 through 13. Glad you're here. This is a good crowd. Appreciate you being here today. Thank you for all our guests that could be with us today. We hope you like our church and keep coming back. We love having you. I can't tell you enough, folks, about tomorrow night. Dr. Dean Miller is a tremendous man that really knows the scriptures. Dean Miller is another Dr. L. Lacey. They're close in the same age, by the way, too, and they're good friends. Don't miss Dr. Dean Miller. This is a rare opportunity to have a great man of God like him. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Be here every service you can be here and bring people, because He's a tremendous great man of God. All righty. Revelation 14:9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with his fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they shall have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I'm going to preach on that last statement in just a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Father, I thank you for these folks that are here today. Holy Spirit, fill me. Help me be used of the Lord to be a blessing to their lives. Lord, help me to do good that I might be a blessing to them. Please, Father, help me to do well for you that I could be a help to them. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, this portion of Scripture I just read from Revelation 14, I realize I just read to you a tribulation passage. We're not at that time yet. The next thing that's going to happen is we believe in God's dispensations, the rapture, the calling out. There's going to be the trump of God's going to sound, and all those that have faith in Christ, we're going up. I told the fellow last week at the Ponderosa, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm waiting for the uppertaker. Amen? And so that's the next thing that's going to happen, what the Christians call the rapture. The Bible calls it a mystery. And this particular scripture I read, I'm not going to preach on it today, but this is during that, after the rapture, there's a seven-year period called the tribulation. And this is during, this passage is referring to that time. This passage of scripture, I know, is referring to the tribulation time that's soon to come. Matthew 24:21 tells us, for then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Billy, even though it's getting bad in the day we live, we ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm glad God's going to keep us from that hour, Brother Rich. Revelation 3:10 says, well, I'm not worried about going into tribulation. God's going to call me out before that tribulation starts. Revelation 3:10 says, I'll keep you from that hour, and that which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. I'm going to tell you right now, if I wasn't saved, I'd be terrified. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'd get saved today, because the rapture could happen any moment. The rapture, the moment of it could happen any moment, and then all the Christians are going to be gone, and you're going to left here. And the Bible says those that had a chance to be saved and didn't get saved, they're going to receive the mark of the beast, and then you'll be damned in forever and ever and ever. No hope, but there's hope right now because you got a chance. Amen? Well, if you look at Revelation 19, come on, amen? Amen. Revelation 14:9, it talks about these people. If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in their forehead or in their hand. That's why you're seeing a lot of that right now, people talk. Even at Cedar Point, you got to have that stamp. And they're preparing people. But one day there's going to be a mark, and people are going to receive it. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. I'm not worried about getting it because I'm not going to be here. Amen? How about you? In verse 11, it says, and there's these people that got the mark, they're doomed forever. Verse 11 says, the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest. Those that take that mark, they receive the mark of the beast, they will have eternal doom and damnation, torment forever and ever. You know what, folks? When you read this, that's alarming. To think that one of your family members, one of your friends, might not be saved. And if the rapture happens today and those people aren't saved, they're going to go into this seven-year tribulation. And the Bible says they're going to believe a lie. I wasn't planning on preaching on it today. But the Scripture says in Thessalonians, they're going to believe a lie. And they're going to be doomed. And so, look up here, church. We need to get the Word of God out now. We need to be excited about Christ now. We need to be telling people about the great gift of God, eternal life through Christ, now, because when we go, there won't be no hope for them. Now notice, I'm going to get to where I want to preach. Verse 12. So from verse 9 through 11, it was talking about the judgment of the lost during those that went into tribulation. But now look at verse 12. Again, we're still talking about tribulation saints here, by the way, though. But I want to talk to you about the saved today. Look at verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. If you're saved, you're a saint. You're a saint. Say this. If I'm saved, I'm a saint. If I'm not saved, I ain't. You aren't. Seriously, these people, the saints, they're born again Christians. They suffered through the tribulation. They got saved during the trib. And I heard the voice, look at verse 13, from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yeah, they died. They refused to get that mark, and they stayed faithful to Christ. Henceforth, yea, set the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And this is what I want to preach on. I'm not going to preach on tribulation passage. I just want to, on the thought, I want to share with you today that they may rest, if you notice in verse 13, that they may rest from their labors. Child of God, someday all the battles of life will be over. I know there's, look up here. I know some of you are going through battles. Life is a battle. But one day, Brother Kenny, one day, praise God, all the life's battles are going to be over. Amen. I noted this. And we will enter into the rest with God. I put this, one day all the battles will be over and we will enter into the haven of rest with God Almighty. And I can't wait. Hallelujah. How many are looking for the haven of rest? One day we're going to see that. You say, is it worth it all, preacher? It's worth it. You just keep living for God. You just keep serving God. You just keep reading your Bibles, seeking the things of God. One day we're going to see them. One day all these battles and heartaches and sorrow and sickness and surgeries and trials and everything that we go through, one day they're all going to be over. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. I've always said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Our works are going to be rewarded someday in heaven. Child of God, your works will be rewarded. I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 11. When this old life is over and we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, not for our salvation, we wouldn't be there if we weren't saved, but we're going to stand for our stewardship, how we serve God, Johnny. Look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 3. How many got 1 Corinthians 3:11? For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Only one way to get to heaven. Only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus. It's not baptism, not local, not being a Baptist, not being a Catholic, not being a Lutheran. There's no church that gets you to heaven. It's all faith in Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Yeah, God's going to, when we stand before God, we're not going to be boasting, because our whole life's going to be shown in front of us. And what we really did for Christ will be rewarded. And what we did for our self-glory, for vain things, it's all going to be burned up. If it wasn't done for Christ, there's no reward. If any man's work abide which he had built therein, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yep, so by fire. Why is he saying that, preacher? Because a lot of times people say they do things in the name of Christ, but they're really not doing it in the name of Christ. Sometimes people are saying, oh, I'm doing it for God's glory, but they're not really doing it for God's glory. When you really do something for God's glory, you're going to get reward. Like you folks that work these bus routes. And I know it's hard because I used to do it years and years. You leave before anybody gets here. You're the first to come and the last to leave. there was a lot of times when my kids were growing up, I didn't get to eat lunch with my kids on Sunday afternoon because I was still running my bus route at 3 o'clock. Hello, how many are still with me? And if you really do it for Christ, God's going to give you a reward. What are We see, God wants us to really examine our motives. What's our motive behind things? Are they really for Christ, or is it just to be seen of men? Hello? And so, we need to know one day we're going to stand before God. And listen, our works for God do not save us. Now, there's some churches that teach you got to work to be saved. You can't do any work to be saved. There was one work that got you saved. And that was the work of Calvary's cross, when Jesus, the Son of God, suffered and died from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon for 6 hours. There, a sixth number of man. God made man a sixth day. There, the Son of God suffered and agonized for 6 hours, shed his blood, gave his life, so you and I could have forgiveness of sin. That's the work that was done for salvation. And everybody, I know there's churches say, no, you got to do some kind of work to merit. There's nothing that can merit. Listen, it's the blood of Christ. Pastor Dave was preaching it this morning. It's the blood of Christ that made it possible for any of us to go to heaven. And like Cain and Abel, he shared Cain and Abel. And of course, Abel offered up the blood. He offered up a lamb, because that lamb was a type and represented the lamb that would come in the future, Jesus Christ, that would shed his blood. That lamb of Abel's couldn't forgive sins. It was just a covering. But when the real lamb, Christ, came at Calvary, that lamb's blood was precious, and it cleansed us from all sin. Can anyone say amen? And so, our works for God do not save us. They follow us for reward. And but there's no works that save anyone. Christ did the work. And God's holy word makes an official statement here in Revelation 14, 13. Look what it says there. In Revelation 14, I'm sorry, I have to go back. Revelation 14, 13, it says, he makes an official statement here. These saved tribulation saints, their works followed them. You see in verse 13, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now the question is, I want to address to today is, what will follow you to heaven? I won't preach long. Just a thought. I got one thought here. Brother White, by the way, Brother Coolidge called me yesterday, and he quoted the scripture to me. And after he quoted the scripture, I said, man, I couldn't get it out of my heart. I worked up the message. I called him back and said, hey, you changed my message, man. I'm going to preach on that Revelation 14:9 now. 14:13, rather. Their works do follow them. And my question is, what will follow you to heaven? First of all, you must be born again to get to heaven. And if you're saved, what will follow you to heaven? When our life is over, what will be said of our life on this earth? What will be remembered about our life that pleased God? What kind of legacy will we leave behind? Can we expect any reward in heaven for our service to God or for our non-service to God? I truly believe the Apostle Paul had confidence that when he died, he left the world. His works would follow him. I want you to look at the scripture with me. Paul was sure his works were going to follow him. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. I got one point, and I just want to get that one point across, and I'm going to let you go eat your dinner. First Timothy chapter 4. Maybe it's 2 Timothy. Whoever made this outline didn't know what they were doing. Let me correct this. So if Pastor Dave ever tries to preach this message, he'll have the right thing. It's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Boy, God's good, isn't he? Look at verse 1 and 2 first. This is Paul's life. Paul's speaking. I charge thee. How many got 4:1? I charge thee. If he's he wants us, hey, I want to get your attention here. I charge thee, therefore, before God. You better be listening, because I'm telling you, I'm putting you before God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what people tell you. He's coming back. Brother Carl, I don't know when he's coming, but I know for a fact he is coming. And when he comes, the trump of God's going to sound, and we're going to go up in a moment of twinkling. That's what the scripture says. And I'm looking forward to that day. So while we're waiting for that day of Christ appearing, by the way, we ought to be looking for it. Are you looking for that day of his coming? Is it in the back of your mind? Is it in your heart that Christ could come any moment? Would you be happy if he came? I know I would. You know, when you kids were young, man, you hate about preaching about the rapture. I got a whole life to live, preacher. Hey, I'm not young no more. My life's halfway, more than halfway over. I hope he comes now. Man, my body's breaking down. I need a new body. I'm gonna tell you, even when I was young, I wanted him to come though. I can't wait to see him. One day, our precious Savior is going to come in those clouds. Brother Noah, the trump of God's going to sound. The Bible says in a moment of a twinkling, we're going to be gone. Can anyone say hallelujah? You might be in the darkest, hardest time of your life, but when that time comes, you're going to be taken right out of it. Hallelujah. Look at the scripture there. Verse 2. So because we know that's going to come, I don't know when it's going to come. And by the way, no one else does either. Don't buy those books. I know some people I know the exact time. I know the date. Buy my book and I'll tell you the exact day it's coming. If you buy that book, you're stupid. Because no one knows the time. No, you're not stupid. You're just illiterate. Let me put the way it is. Duh. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. In other words, stay with it till the end. Keep on keeping on. Because I'm coming, and I'm going to tell you, it goes on in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Josh, we're getting pretty close to that time right now. Brother Bobby, people think today that we're weirdos. People think we're heretics because we believe the Bible's true. Because we believe you have to be saved and cleansed by the blood of Christ. They'll say, oh, you old Baptist blood people, we don't want you. You're crazy. That's all right. Hello? I see that even now they're taking things out of the school for Christmas and stuff. And we have Christian schools, so that won't affect us. But it didn't. When I was a young kid, I know that was a long time ago, but everything was celebrated, even in the public schools. And, but boy, they've left that, haven't they? And you can, Brother Jack, I can see how the world just keeps going farther and farther and farther away from God. And every year, more farther and farther. Pretty soon, they'll be completely alienated from the things of God. They took prayer out of school. They took the Bible out of school. Now they're not even letting even do a Christmas play in the school. I'm going to tell you, we better wake up. This is not right. Notice, look at verse 5. But watch thou. Are we watching? Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof the ministry of thy ministry. Look what Paul says. For I am now ready. Paul's life was separated for Christ. Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I'm getting ready to die. Paul said he knew he was getting ready. He said, I fought a good fight. Bobby, I think it's one of the last statements he made before he died. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Wow. Can we say that? When you get to the end of your life, will you be able to say, I fought a good fight? I kept the faith. I finished my course. And by the way, every one of us have a course that we should go on. Look up here. Every one of you, I don't care how young you are, how old you are. You're 13 today, and God's got a plan for your life. God has got a plan for your life. God's got a plan for your life. He does. Oh, not me, preacher. God's got a plan for your life. If he doesn't come back, maybe he has a plan for you to marry a preacher. Be a preacher's wife. Whoa! Man, that'll blow you out, won't it? Wow, preacher. Now you really ate your Fruit Loops. You're going, cuckoo, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I'll never forget, and Billy told me that, Cocoa Puffs. Notice, I got Lizzie going. Shouldn't have done that. Paul said in verse 7, I have fought. Paul says, I fought a good fight. How's the fight going for you right now? How's the fight for Christ? Have you got the cause of Christ? Are you fighting for the cause of Christ right now? I have finished my course. He did what was set out for him. Have you done what's set out for you? Seriously. Are you doing what God set out for you to do? Man, you know what? A lot of people are going to get to the end of their life and they're going to say, I regret it. I could have done more. I should have done this. I could have done this. Why didn't I do this? You're going to have regret and tears because you didn't do what you're supposed to do. Notice, I kept the faith. He kept on keeping on. Paul didn't quit. Paul kept going on. He kept serving the Lord, and he kept serving right to the end of his life. You know what? We ought to determine in our heart today, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, you ought to say, I'm going to serve God the rest of my life. When I was a young kid, and I used to be a young kid, the old man's coming down the steps. Hey, I can walk that now. A few months ago, I couldn't even go up that step. God's good, ain't he? How old are you now, son? 15. I won't even say that. Who's 20 years old here? How old are you, son? You're 20. Great deal. I got saved when I was 20 years old. And, boy, I sure like to play baseball. And I was a pretty good ball player, to be honest with you. And had I not started drinking when I was 14, I probably would have made it to the major leagues because I really could hit a baseball. I was fast. You wouldn't. You'd say he's a Pillsbury popping doughboy. I wasn't always a Pillsbury popping doughboy. I was real fast. Played center field. I was hitting major league home runs by the time I was in the eighth grade, hitting over stadiums, and people couldn't believe it. Left-handed. Then I got saved. And then at 21, God called me to preach. And I used to like to play ball. A lot of times those ball games, you had a Wednesday night ball games, a Wednesday night practice. I had to be in church on Wednesday night. You know what I did, Brother Nowak? I said, you know what? Forget this ball. I think I'm just going to give my whole life to God. And I determined as a young man to sell out to God. That's what you need to do. And there was a lot of times that I'll be honest with you, I thought about all the other people doing stuff, and I was going to Bible college, and we were, me and Rosie were just making it, and a lot of times I thought, man, is this worth it? Can a silver-haired man tell you something? It's worth it. It's worth it. Young preacher couple, me and Rosie will tell you, it's worth it. It's not all roses. There's a lot of heartache, not a sorrow. But it's worth it because, Billy, you knew, you were just a baby when I came. You were just born. And you watched preacher. You saw preacher as a young man. Now you see him as an old man. I don't regret. The things I do regret is that I didn't do it quicker. The things I do regret is that I didn't get saved sooner. The things I do regret is I didn't study more when I was younger. Oh, man, I'm telling you right now. I've got no... Listen, there's days my body's shot, and I'm still fairly young. I'm only 64. But my body's shot. And there's days I don't even go out of I didn't even go out of the house yesterday. I knew I was going to preach today, and I called Brother Mike and said, "Brother Mike, I had a rough night. I was up all night with the stuff, and I said I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm just going to get ready for Sunday." But I'll tell you right now, you young people, listen to me. You stay in church. You kids stay in church. You stay in church. You young kids back here, you stay in church. You stay in church. I'm so glad. I was looking at your baby. I was looking at my baby Graceland today. Every service that baby's in this church, thank you, honey. Thank you for keeping that baby in this church. She's such a little doll. I saw a little bicycle the other day, and it was like brand new, and I bought it for Graceland. She got her first bike. We got to get a bell for it. The bell didn't work on it. But it was like brand. It looked like it came out of Sears and Roebuck. It was one of them flyer ones. Radio flyer. Radio flyer bike. I mean, it was a deluxe model. Little Graceland started out first class. I seen Mike walking around with her today in the morning. Man, that blessed my heart. Make sure that baby's in church every week. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to regret serving God. Boy, you know what I missed out on? Getting drunk. I was there before I got saved. I used to wake up with hangovers. And your head would hurt so much, and you puke. I didn't have this plan, Lord. And the taste in there, oh, you couldn't get that taste out. Boy, I really gave up a lot, didn't I? I'm going to tell you, I've still been drinking since I got saved. I just drink from a different fountain. You'll never regret serving God. You'll never regret serving God. Look what Paul said here. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Are you on course? Are you on course for God? Or are you just playing with God? Are you serious about your salvation and your convictions for Christ? Or are you just one of those guys that halfway in, halfway out? You'll never accomplish something halfway in and halfway out. Just get in all the way and you'll be glad you did. Too many people like to straddle the fence. Halfway in, halfway out. And that's why you're never used by God. Just throw yourself and say, God, here I am. Use what you can do for me, but use me. No matter what, I'll be faithful to the end. I kept the faith. Paul didn't quit. Paul kept going. He kept serving, even to the end of his life. Paul stayed in the fight for Christ all the way to the end. He didn't fall back. He didn't quit. Paul stayed faithful to the end. Let's think about Paul's life, and I'm all done. And stay with me. I'm just going to quote it to you. When we start thinking about Paul's life, in Acts 7 and Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 8, we see Paul was there when Stephen was killed. Matter of fact, Paul was in charge of slaying Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Also, in Acts chapter 8, Paul was putting Christians in jail. He was closing down churches. But in Acts chapter 9, Paul got saved. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul saw the light of God. And by the way, Jesus is the light of the world. And when you see God's light, Christ comes into your heart, you'll shine for Jesus too. He got saved in Acts chapter 9. And then he gave the rest of his life bringing the gospel all over the known world. Over the many, many missionary trips that Paul had, he gave his whole life for Christ. then the another thing about Paul, he deeply cared about Jews and Gentiles being saved. You want to look, let me just show you a couple of scriptures. Look at Acts chapter 20. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 31. This is what Paul thought. Pastor Dave quoted this verse. I don't know if it was in the Sunday school last week or a message he preached, but I know I picked it up. He quoted it. At least he alluded to it. In Acts chapter 20, verse 31, Paul says, "Therefore, watch and remember," I'm in Acts 20, 31, "that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." I'm going to tell you right now, his heart, Josh, was sold out. Billy, all he cared about was people being reached for Christ. And for the space of 3 years, night and days, he warned people with tears. He cared about people's souls going to hell. That's what brought tears to his eye, because he didn't want them to die and go to hell, and many of them refused his witness. Do we have a burden like that? Do we have a burden to reach people where we go? Do we have a heart concern that souls on our buses and parents on our buses and the people that we meet and the people we work with and the people we love next door to, do we have a burden that they get saved? So much that tears would go. Look while you're in Acts, look at Romans. Look at Romans chapter 9. Go up one. Look at 9:1. I say this truth. I'm in 9:1 of Romans. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. In other words, what I'm about to tell you is the truth. I have great sorrow, great heaviness, and continued sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. For my brother and my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He loved the Jewish people so much. He loved his kinsmen, that's the Jewish people. Next verse says, who are Israelites, verse 4. He loved the Jews so much, his own people, that if I understand this verse, the verse is so overwhelming, it's hard to believe, but he set his conscience in the Holy Spirit bearing witness. Johnny, he said he was willing to die and go to hell for his countrymen. I hate to say this to you, but I wouldn't want to go to hell for nobody. Because I know hell is an eternal damnation, suffering, agony, and separation from God. Can you imagine how much he had to love those people to make a statement like that? That's beyond my mind. Preacher Myers, I can't comprehend this. I can't grasp it, Rich. He said he's willing to go to hell for his kinsmen. There's a man that was dedicated for souls going to hell. How dedicated are we to? How much do we think about people dying without Christ? How many friends do you know that you never even tell them about Jesus one time? That's where our trouble is. We don't have a heart. We don't have a heart for the things of God like we should. I need more of a heart. You need more of a heart. Can anyone say amen? Notice, do we have a passion for lost souls like Paul did? By the way, his works follow him to heaven. These are some of the works that will follow him, but I want to say one thing, I'm all done. The first work I told you was in Acts 7 and 8, where he killed Christians and he killed Saul. That work won't follow him. All the other things he did for Christ are going to follow him, but that he did against Christians will not follow him. Because he got saved, Billy, in chapter 9, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed him for all sin. See, those evil things that we've done in the past, they're covered by the blood. They're not going to follow me to heaven. But by the way, if you live a wicked life now, it'll hinder you from helping the people get to heaven. If you're not plugged into Christ, you're going to be plugged into the world. And if you're plugged into the world, you're not going to be worried about people going to hell. Hello? Where our heart is, that's where we're going to be. How many are still with me? All those great things, all the great missionary journeys, all the people he won to Christ, all the things he wrote half the New Testament Bible. His works followed him. His works followed him. His works followed him. Their works, Revelation 14, 13, their works follow him. One day, we're going to be at the end of our life or the rapture. Whichever comes first. And today, I just want to put in your thought, what will follow you when we come to the end? Paul's works followed him to heaven. The tribulation saints, Revelation 14, 13, their works followed them. The question I want to leave with you today, just to think about, what will follow you? When the trump of God blows and sounds off, what will follow you? I hope it's a lot of bus kids that got saved. I hope it's a lot of missionaries that we supported that won people to Christ, and we could say, yeah, we had part of that. I don't know what's going to follow us, but I know one thing. Whatever it is, I want it to be good for Christ. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. And Lord, as we think about the Apostle Paul, how his works followed him. Lord, what kind of works, when we get to the end of our life, when we give up the spirit and the ghost and we go up to be with you, or in the rapture, what works are going to follow us? What will we have done for Christ that will follow us? What will we have done for the things of God's glory will follow us? I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you're going to want to have to be concerned with what's following you if you're going to do things for Christ. We need to have a mindset. I want my life to count for Christ. When I was 20, 21 years old, I just said, that's it. I don't care about the world. I'm going to give my life to Christ. And God took an old street kid, took a kid off the streets, and he tried to use me for his glory. He'll use anybody if you let him. The thing is, you got to sell out. You got to want to. You want. You